working. Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. It is September 14th, 2025. It's a beautiful day in Littleton, Colorado. The sun is peeking out of the clouds a little bit. It's supposed to get up in the low 70s. Little Max is running in the backyard. And we're here inside having fellowship. I realized we went on vacation recently. And I realized, you know, some people have support animals. And I realized my animal, I'm his support human. It was an epiphany I had. So it's like, he's tuned into me. He really tunes into me. And so on the plane, it was interesting. I was reading this book, The Unity of the Spirit by Taylor Overby, talking about the seven ones in Ephesians 4. And he keeps this theme. There's a theme he does throughout the book. And it's like, he'll talk about what God said and God didn't say. Yeah, here it is. God said, God never said. That's what it was. And he goes through that. And he'll go through scripture. And like, a lot of Christians have certain beliefs they have. And let's say, in the Bible, God said this, but he never said, like he never said in the Bible, God the Son. He said the Son of God. That, you know, and people, a lot of religions, a lot of their foundations are things that God never said. And then we had something terrible happen this week. I had a teaching prepared, and I'm not going to teach it today. We're going to cover some other things. And it was a terrible assassination with Charlie Kirk. I mean, that's just... I mean, he's one of the, probably the gentlest, nicest humans we ever had on the face of the earth. And for him to be, his life to be ripped away that way is just so evil. And so I thought, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I'm going to go to Acts, probably 20, 21, somewhere in there. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Paul going to Jerusalem and how they wanted to kill him. And they weren't successful. And we do have a adversary. And like we talked about in prayer of manifestations, you know, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we have to walk in wisdom. I remember as a young man, I was riding in a vehicle in California, and we came to an intersection. The other side had a stop sign, we didn't. And the guy driving the car, he slowed way down, and the guy that was supposed to stop at the stop sign blew through. And he looked at me like, how did I know to do that? You know, it was a rhetorical question. In other words, God told him, slow down. And we live in a dangerous world, and we have to walk with God, and God's protection will cover us. And, you know, Charlie Kirk, he wasn't an ordained minister, but he functioned like a minister. He was political, and he was also religious. Now, I don't really agree with most of Charlie Kirk's theology. He believed in the Trinity. He believed abortion was murder. He believed the dead are alive, a lot of things like that. And those are not supported from the Bible. It's like God said and God never said. You know, some of the things he believed, God never said. But he had a good heart. He was trying to lead people to Christ and turn people from left-wing ideology to conservative. Because I remember when I went to college in the 80s, I went to UC Berkeley, and it was I was amazed how hard left that campus was. And I had teachers that were avowed communists. I mean, I had this one crazy teacher. She had no art in her wall except for a 9-foot-high portrait of Mao Zedong. She admired it. You know, he was one of the great mass murderers. He killed more people than Hitler and Stalin together. And she thought he was a great hero of the 20th century. And one of the hallmarks of an evil movement or evil politics or evil religion is they will persecute the other side. The people walking with God, I mean, those of us that are Unitarian in belief, we don't persecute Trinitarians. We might engage them in dialogue and say, well, the Bible says this, and you believe this. You know, God said, God never said. But we don't persecute them. The same thing with politics. You know, conservatives, we don't persecute people that are liberals or communists or fascists or whatever they are. We don't persecute them. But any political movement that will persecute someone else and try to kill them, then that's a hallmark of them being a counterfeit or a evil movement. And we see that in the book of Acts. You know, Paul, he wanted to go to Jerusalem. He had a good heart. He had a good heart that he wanted to preach the word to the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. You know, and that's where the Christian movement started, with Jesus Christ. And yeah, we'll start in chapter 21.
Acts 21.
And verse 1. And it came to pass, after we had gotten them from, and had launched, and we came into this place and that place, and, oh, by the way, it says Rhodes. I got something off my bucket list. I finally got to Rhode Island. I'd never been to Rhode Island before, and it's a tiny little state about the size of a county, and I was looking up on the internet, how'd they get their name Rhode Island? Well, somebody went there and they said it's like the Rhodes Islands in the Greek, that area of Greece. They're part of Greece is like land, and part of it they got a bunch of islands. So they were unto Rhodes. So that's a little bit of trivia. So now you know something. You learn something. I don't think it's useful, but you learn something. Verse 2, and finding the ship, they went over to Phoenicia and aboard and so on and so on. Verse 3, they went to Cyprus and they're going. You know, if you look at the map, they're going down. They're getting closer and closer to Jerusalem. And verse 4, they found some disciples. And the disciples said that he should not go up to Jerusalem. See, first of all, if you're doing something dangerous, God will warn you. God will say, don't go there, it's dangerous. You know, we have one of our daughters is a police officer, and she'll tell us about certain places not to go that are dangerous. You know, there's a lot of crime in that area, you don't want to go there. And verse 5, and we had accomplished in those days and departed and went our way, and they brought us so on. And verse 7, and they went down to Tyre, and how do you say that one? Ptolemais? Whatever. Verse 8, the next day they were of Paul's company, came down to Caesarea. And we went to Philip the evangelist, and he had one of the seven, and we abode with him. And he had the same, he had four virgins which did prophesy. And we tarried there many days and came down. And a certain prophet from Judea, a certain prophet named Agabus, and he took Paul's girdle and he bound his hands and he says, thus saith the Lord, the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So all these people are telling him, that, you know, it's Paul had a heart. He really wanted to help the Jewish believers. He wanted to teach them grace. Because in the Jewish religion, they had the temple, and in the heart, the very heart of the temple, they had the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could go in. And they had a veil there that separated. No, the high priest could only go in at certain times. Then they had another area where the priest could go in. Then they had another area where only the Judean Israel believers could go. And then they had outside, they had a court of Gentiles, so people that were other people could come and see what, you know, was going on with this Israel and their one God thing, and see what's, check it out. And they had a sign there. I was reading that in this book, and they had a sign that if the Gentiles left the court of the Gentiles and went into where the Israelites were allowed, that they could be killed. And I don't know if that, I don't think that was God's will that they would be killed, but they were, God's will is that only the Israel, God brought the word to Israel first. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ to Israel first. And then Israel, for the most part, rejected him. And so after he was resurrected, and after the day of Pentecost, people like Peter, he went and started witnessing to some of the Romans and some of the other people, and they got born again and they spoke in tongues. So Paul wanted to go back and teach these Judean believers the greatness of the mystery. But see, they had been, for generation after generation, they had been taught that they were God's people and they were the chosen ones. And now Paul came along and was teaching that it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek. We're all one in Christ. And what we have in Christ is better than what the Israelites had through the Old Testament law. And Paul said, verse 13, "What mean ye to weep and break mine heart? I am not ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem in the name of the Lord Jesus." And so they, finally, verse 14, they quit trying to persuade him. And so he gets to verse 18. "And Paul went in with us unto James." Well, wait a minute. Says in the book of Galatians that God gave the ministry to the Gentiles to the Apostle Paul, and he gave the ministry of the circumcision, the people in Israel, to Peter. Well, why isn't Peter here? Well, James, somehow, I don't see where, how it happened, but somehow James usurped the authority and the ministry that God had given to Peter, and Peter was the rightful spiritual leader for this area, but James here was the brother of Jesus. And you see all through the Gospels that James, when Jesus was alive, used to mock Jesus. He said, "Oh, you're going to go into Jerusalem and do your ministry thing, huh?" You know, he wasn't very nice, and Jesus' brothers didn't treat him like he was the Son of God. But they came and they wanted, with nepotism, it's like the thing with kings. They don't elect a king. They don't select the king that's most qualified. They do it by bloodline. And so they figured this was Jesus' brother, so that he should be the leader here. Verse 19, "And when he had saluted them, he declared all the stuff that God had wrought, all the miracles he'd done in the Gentiles by his ministry." This is Paul talking. "And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, saying, 'Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, but they're all zealous for the law.'" And it finally gets to the point where, you know, Paul, he wants to do a vow, so he shaves his head and he does all the, trying to go back and do the law. He's going in the temple and doing all those things. And And he, there's people, they seize him, and they take him to the high priest, and they were going to kill him. And there was, what was it, 40 men that took a vow? They weren't going to eat or drink. I don't know, I can't last very long without water. I like my water here. They were not going to eat or drink until they killed Paul. These people were not, this is not a godly vow. Like if there's people, there's a lot of, there's churches and ministries throughout the world that teach things that are not accurate with the Bible. But I, and me and other genuine ministers, we don't want to kill them. We're not going to take a vow that we don't eat or drink until they're dead. And that's just, when anybody that does that, it's evil. Wanting to murder a religious leader is always evil. Wanting to murder Charlie Kirk is evil. You know, I didn't agree with all of Charlie Kirk's theology or even all his politics, but I appreciate the quality of man he was. And anybody that wants to kill him, it's murder. It's an assassination. You know, I remember when they assassinated Martin Luther King. The genius of Martin Luther King, or the reason why they assassinated him, is because he wanted to do nonviolent protest. And nonviolent protest, let me back up a little bit. I learned something many years ago that if you got an argument with somebody, you don't go, "Hey, you're wrong! Stop it! You're wrong!" You know, you do that, that escalates the, you know, and they start yelling back, and then you start pushing each other, and you get mad, and then, it gets out of hand. You know, instead of that, you just have a, you know, Martin Luther King would go, you know, discriminating against people because of the color of their skin, that's evil. It's not right. We're all the same human race. You know, we should judge other people by the character of their heart, not by the color of their skin, and not who their ancestry was. Doesn't matter if you came from Europe, or if you came from Africa, or if you came from Asia, it doesn't matter. You know, what kind of heart do you have? And they didn't want that. That's why they had to kill him. And Charlie Kirk, he said, "Look, you know, why is, you know, our college campuses are so far left." You know, I remember I had that one professor I was telling you about. I was sitting in her class one time, and she was teaching, and she said, "The reason we have war is because we spank our kids." I mean, what a stupid, dumb statement that is. You know, it's like, sometimes a little kid does something, you don't have to, like, get out a big thing and belt them and leave a welt on them, but sometimes you just get a little tap on the, you know, like, or you pull their ear, or you just hold them and you say, "No, stop that." And a little bit of physical coercion stops it, you know. It's like this morning I was petting Max, and Max decides he didn't want to be petted, and he starts biting me, and I said, "No, Max, you're not allowed to do that." He's just an animal. And he could understand that. And so physical coercion, it does not cause wars. But it's also interesting, you know, I think a lot of times in our culture we're taught that ministers should never get political. Well, you ever remember Elijah the prophet? Mm-hmm. He went to King Ahab, and he says, "You are the reason we're having all these problems in this country." And then there was John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, "Hey, what the king's doing, that's evil, that's wrong." Next thing you know, they threw him in jail. Cut off his head. So it's, you know, it's those of us that are, you know, we're all ministers because we all have Christ in us. We were ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing wrong with getting political, but we don't want political violence. We don't believe in political violence, but the other side does. the devil is a terrorist. And that's really what the murder of Charlie Kirk was about. It was terrorism. They want to scare people from going on college campuses and presenting something other than communism and socialism. They can't tolerate that we have a different opinion. You know, it's like I disagree with a lot of people, but I'm completely comfortable that they have a different opinion than mine. As long as I'm allowed to voice mine as much as they voice theirs, I'm happy. You know, and let the listener decide which side to be on. So anyway, we know the story here in Acts. You know, Paul got arrested, and here's that verse in 23:14. And it was that day that certain Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. That's some evil people that do stuff like that. And, you know, and we're never going to stop all the evil. And finally, we know that Paul, God makes a way out. For a lot of time, you know, no matter what situation you're in, God always makes a way out. Now, the first way out was prophet came to Paul. Well, first of all, God probably told Paul, don't go there. And Paul maybe got a little ego going, and he said, I'm going to go there because I want to teach that. He had a good purpose in heart. And then, we know the story. And finally, God had to make a way out, that his way out was he had to be a prisoner of the Roman Empire. And thank God he wasn't killed, because he later wrote the book of Ephesians and some other books. And if he'd been killed here in Jerusalem, we wouldn't have the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians is a great work. And see, God also never asked us to be martyrs. The only person that God ever asked to die for somebody was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, he raised from the dead 3 days and three nights later. It says in the Bible, Jesus said, my burden is light. God and Jesus Christ did all the heavy lifting.
Our burden is light.
Our burden is light, yes. Mm-hmm. God and Jesus Christ did the heavy lifting. And what we have to do is pretty easy. We just speak on it. We stand on the word. We pray. That's, you know, a little child can do that. I think I'm going to stop here in a minute, and I'm going to open it up for discussion. And, there was something else I wanted to say, and I forgot it, but that's all right. But anyway, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for that and Father, right now, help the family of Charlie Kirk, comfort his family. And Father, raise up people that will speak your word. And thank you for ministers that do have the backbone and the intestinal fortitude to get political and to teach what is right. Because communism and socialism are always wrong. It's always evil. It's always a way of death. And walking with God, you, Father, the one true God, and walking in the steps of Jesus Christ is always life. And Father, we choose life. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'd like to open it up and have other people comment.
One thing about this, what happened to Charlie, is that it's waking some of these people up that didn't agree with him at all. Like, this is an evil, terrible thing. I can't be with these people anymore. You know, the left or whatever, whoever, you know, Satan, this is an evil thing. But some of the left is disgusted with their own people now. It's too bad Charlie had to die, but I mean, it's good to see some people are starting to wake up, starting to realize how bad and how evil the other side is.
Well, the worst thing I've heard in all of this is, well, Charlie had it coming because of the stuff he was saying.
He did not.
But that's what's...
That's a lie from hell.
Yeah. Right, but that's what's making their side look at it and say, wait a minute, he didn't deserve to die. We didn't agree with him, but you're absolutely right. But it's waking the other people from the other side saying, I may not believe in God and all this stuff, but he was a good guy. There's no reason. And they look at the kids. They did it right in front of his kids and wife. And they're disgusted with it too. And it's good to see that in a way, I guess.
This even affected my 10-year-old grandson. He was just appalled. He doesn't know Charlie Kirk from anybody. He just knows that what happened was wrong.
Yeah.
And I just had to lovingly tell him that, you know, we've got an adversary and it was wrong what happened. But he was pretty concerned. Also, it exposed the Trans Tifa group. Because the guy that assassinated Charlie Kirk had a transgender boyfriend.
It does sort of seem like there's a lot of trans people that are shooters lately.
Yeah,
that's the Antifa that went into the January 6th. And
And my concern is was that person the actual shooter, or is this person a patsy? And because whoever did that shooting, to shoot that accurately at 200 yards with one shot, that requires a lot of training.
Well, and his dad was a cop, and he's been shooting guns since he was a kid.
Yeah. I've been shooting guns, and I can't make that shot with one shot.
I can't.
Another thing about... They're drugging our children. They've been drugging people for a long time. Some of these transitioning drugs are horrible. We don't know what kind of consequences they do to people, but we know that a lot of after our generation, really, they started doing a lot of drugging, ADD, ADHD. Some of those drugs, first of all, some of them are unnecessary. I'm not saying all of them, but some of them are. And what they don't know the long-term effects of some of these. And there are people in our government who are experimenting with these drugs to get people compliant or to stir them up. And so are a lot of these people being wound up and then set loose, and they're not even in control of themselves anymore, you know? And so we got to get to the heart of, you know, what is really going on. And I'm really glad that JFK Jr. now is really doing RFK Jr. is doing some real research and getting to the heart of what are we giving to our children.
Exactly.
And what is going on here? Because a lot of people do get, drugs can mess you up big time. You know, I know our daughter, who's a police officer, you know, they meet people who, she can tell what kind of drugs someone is on just by the way they look, the way they act. Oh, they're on this one. Oh, they're on that one. And some of them, they get so wild and strong, they're not even themselves anymore. They're not themselves. And so there's a lot of different moving parts in what's happening here. But one thing about Charlie Kirk is he gave young men in particular a voice, because we've been telling our men and our boys that they need to act like women. They need to do this. They have to do, and men need to be men, and we need men.
Yeah.
What are you going to do without men? You know, and we, you know, so many in the feminist movement in particular have said things like, well, we don't need men. Oh, really?
Yes, you do.
Who's going to do the real hard work upon this earth? You know, I'm sorry, we're not all Amazon women. You know, we really do need men. And he's given a voice to young men as well. That, yes, I can be a man. I can be a gentleman. And, you know, being a real man doesn't mean you're a chauvinist pig. It means you know how to be strong and brave and take care of your family, you know. And also the Word of God does. Isn't there somewhere where it says, "Rise up, O men of God"?
Oh
somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the men turned to God because of their families. In I think it was in the Gospels where, you know, having children compelled men to want to rise up to learn the word, to raise their children properly and teach them the word of God. So there's just a lot at play here that Charlie Kirk represented. And they think they killed Charlie Kirk. Well, they are encouraging now a whole generation of young people to say, what the heck is going on here? Why can't we speak our minds? Why can't we have an opinion that might be different from someone else? Why do I have to walk on eggshells around certain people but not others? You know, once there is one side of the equation where they can say anything and we have to be accepting and we have to, and everyone says Charlie Kirk, he was a pedophile, or not, excuse me, he was he hated transgenders, he hated homosexuals. Some of his best friends were homosexuals. You know,
he would have a dialogue with them, trying to lead
them
to Christ.
Anybody. He would talk with anybody, and he didn't like judge them. He just said, "Well, this is what the word says about that." But and also, adults have a right to live their life any way they want. They really do. If you want to be whatever you want to be when you're an adult, fine. And now I'm going to get into a different topic, but you can't do it to children.
No,
children have a right to grow up innocent, and if they want to make certain decisions later in their lives, they're an adult. Go ahead and do it. There will be consequences in your life. And just like for us, when we walk away from the Word of God and we make dumb decisions, there's consequences.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody, no matter what you're doing. And so to blame certain things, like saying, well, it was his fault because he spoke against this. He didn't speak against it. He just spoke truth. And if people thought that was against them, well, maybe they need to look and see. Because basically, the Bible is God's instruction manual to us on how to live the best life possible. Because God always wants the best for us. He doesn't tell us to do something to our detriment.
Right. Well, it's like Paul going to Jerusalem. Paul was going there to teach them and said, hey, salvation is not bloodline. Salvation is Christ. The Gentiles can get just as good a salvation as the Jews. And they were wanted to kill him for that. And he meant, I was talking about James and Peter. Well, James was the guy that was sending, remember every time Paul would go around the book of Acts, he'd go to a, like, this time he'd go to Athens and he'd say, I want to teach you about the unknown God. And first thing he'd do, though, he's always talk to the Jews first, and then he'd talk to the Gentiles. And then there was guys that follow him around that say, hey, you guys, unless you're circumcised, you're not really saved. You know, you look at Romans 10, 9 and 10, doesn't say anything about how much skin is on your you-know-what. It says, believe in your heart that, you know, make Jesus your Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So James was sending around people that was trying to get him to do the law. And the law, it was there for a time, but it was a schoolmaster until Christ. You know, with the law, Jesus Christ finished the law. It's over. You know, in some churches, some will teach that, oh, but you got to keep the Sabbath. No, you don't. but you gotta do be circumcised. No, you don't. You gotta do that. No, you don't. You gotta do. You know, it's like
God said. God never said.
Exactly. Well, you know what? After fellowship today, we're gonna have cheeseburgers and hot dogs.
Ooh.
And in the Old Testament, if you ate a cheeseburger, you were breaking the law. If you had shrimp cocktail, you were breaking the law. There were certain things they were not allowed to eat. But you know what? We're not under the law anymore. It's done. But that's where James was coming from. That's why the Jews wanted James there. Peter knew the law was over. They didn't want to listen to Peter. They'd listen to James. And you look at the book of James, and he makes statements, you know, faith without works is dead. You know, that was James' opinion. That's not revelation from God. That's James' opinion. Faith stands on its own without works. Now, we do good works because we believe. Good works is great. But faith without works is not dead. Faith is what gets you in. You have to have faith first before you do the good works. So it's not dead. I'm sorry. Let other people talk.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to college two areas. When I was young, there was a little bit, and I didn't do very well. And then in the around 2000, and I had a major and a minor, and the minor didn't. There was never anything political about it, but my major, there's always a lot of class discussions, a lot of them are political, and you'd be amazed how many conservative students there are that don't admit it. And I remember people telling me, well, I didn't want to participate in class discussions because it'd be stupid to participate in class discussions because my grades would suffer because they didn't want to speak up. They admitted that they didn't want to speak up because their grades would suffer for it.
See, so, that's a bad teacher.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we have a lot of bad teachers.
They don't want actual dialogue.
No.
They want a lot of yes men.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was in school as well, I was in a debate class. And so as my debate, I chose, I won't get into the subject, but I used the Bible as one of my references, along with some other things. And as soon as I said, the Bible says here, I was told, you know, debate is over, you can't say that.
Yeah.
And I got, and literally the teacher said, now you have an F, get out of my class. This is more than a few years ago that this occurred. And I went to this was a Catholic university, and I went to the dean of students and I said, not acceptable, you know. And he went, what? And we went through it. And so he brought the teacher in and said, did you forbid? And he said, well, it's you have to have facts. I said, oh, so truth is not facts? And they went, well, so bottom line was I was allowed to represent. When I got done representing the whole dialogue, I got a standing ovation from the class because several of them came up and said, for the first time ever, this subject makes sense. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that I've been so taken to the wrong direction for so many years, and this is back in the 70s.
Yep. Well, there used to be a time in our country where the Bible was the main school book. People learned to read from the Bible. Every school had a Bible. Every college had a Bible. There was a time when the Bible was one of the basic literature books that was taught. And that's one of the things that they had to do to try to take over our country and get us away from being a godly nation was to get rid of the Bible and to infiltrate our school system so that, oh, you can't pray in school. Oh, you can't even do the Pledge of Allegiance. You can't do any of that stuff. And those were our foundations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our founding fathers actually were Unitarians. They believed in one God. And then a series of events happen where now all of Christendom believes the Roman Catholic doctrine, unfortunately. But they had to get rid of the Bible and the Word of God first so that they could confuse people. Because without the standard of the Bible and the Word of God, you are blown about by every wind of doctrine. Mm-hmm. Then anything goes. Anything's true. And now anything can, people can believe anything they want, but not everything that they believe is true.
That's why you went from kids in college at 14 to see Spot Run.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what the level of education and what they were taught was far above par than what they're taught now. Yeah. Because they were taught principle and things that made sense. And you're reading the Bible, it's not easy. And so their skills were higher, and
they have dumbed down our kids.
And they've dumbed down our kids, and what they're taught, they're not taught truth. They're taught humanitarianism, and
they're not taught to think.
No, they're not.
They're taught to think. Yeah, well, you're going to think this no matter what, mm-hmm. and we want to raise children who have some
critical thinking
skills. Yeah. You know, I used to ask questions all the time in school, and I'd get in trouble for asking questions.
Well, yeah. Diane went to Catholic school, yeah. and she's sitting in a religion class, and she said, "Well, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean God kills people? You know, God doesn't kill people. Because, you know what, it says in the Word, I was going to read this, but I didn't in my teaching, but costly in the sight of God is the death of his saints."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's costly to God for have somebody like Charlie Kirk get killed. God doesn't, and you know, another thing that bothered me is I've seen Christians say, well, he's up there and with Jesus now. No, he's in the grave. There will be a resurrection. There will be a gathering together. But right now he's dead and he's asleep.
And his children have no father now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That gets me. People can quote the Bible, go through it, and for some reason they skip Thessalonians. They just seem to can't see chapter 4 of Thessalonians. Because it will pull everything that they think out of the water.
There's other places where it talks about a resurrection. Why would there be a resurrection if they're already up in heaven?
Exactly. But they miss that. It's just right over your head.
But, you know, that's the thing is getting back to the thing, you have to be able to think critically. And people quite often don't apply any logic to the Bible. Right. Oh, but I was taught that in religion class when I was 5 years old, so that's just what I...
Take it on faith, it's a mystery.
Oh, yeah. My mom used to tell me that. It's driving me nuts. Mm. About the Trinity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the whole thing of this event that is... I think more disturbing than a crazy person. To your point earlier, where did he come from? What pushed him? But more importantly, is the reaction that the secular reactions from and the Muslim reactions and the anti-Christian reactions. These are disturbing.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, it's one thing, as we've been saying, to say, I don't agree with that. Well, if any of us talked with somebody for probably part of an hour, we would find something we disagree on. That's easy. But to take it to any level of violence, whether you get in somebody's face and scream at them, or go to the extreme that was done, that those are not acceptable. And our society shouldn't be accepting that. Mm-hmm. And that's the big change that's happened in my lifetime.
Well, life has become...
There's always a cause.
Yeah, life has become invaluable.
Yes.
They don't value human life anymore.
Everything's disposable.
You know,
well,
that's true.
See, murder is the ultimate form of censorship. And what we saw during the pandemic, that it was... suddenly okay to censor people that said, well, wait a minute, that vaccine's not safe and it's not effective. It's saying it's safe and effective is a lie. It's two lies. And we get censored for it. People got put in Facebook jail for saying that, or got kicked off of Twitter or whatever.
Lost their job
or whatever. And, you know, and murder is the ultimate form of censorship. And that's what they wanted to do to Paul. Said, we don't want him teaching that there's, you know, neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, we're all one in Christ. They didn't want to hear that. So let's kill them. You know, and that's never acceptable, to kill somebody. And censorship's never acceptable. And that's why, you know, it's like, I don't believe in the Church of Satan, but they have the right to do a meeting, they have a right to teach, and they have a right to express their opinion. I don't follow the Roman Catholic Church.
But they don't have a right to human sacrifice.
You're right, yeah, yeah. But I, you know, in other churches, you know, the Democrats have a right to express their opinion. Same as the Republicans.
And the more they express their opinion, the more stupid they look.
Yeah.
So yes. I don't want to shut them up. For one thing, if I try to shut them up, they'll shut me up too.
Of course. Then,
the other thing is, the more something? They talk, the more stupid they look.
Are you going to say something, Tom?
Well, that's because people are leaving their party, though. They're destroying themselves. They're. I mean, yes, there's a lot of evil on that side, but because of the reaction of Charlie Kirk and all the negative, you know, people dancing on his way, it turned off a lot of people from that side. A lot of young people. Or like, there were some liberals I seen that were actually crying. Like, this is not fair. Our party is, I'm never going to vote this way again because of what they, you know, they're really blaming the party. But because of their rhetoric, the stuff they said, they called us maggots and evil and Trump's Hitler. Some liberals aren't taking it no more. They're leaving the party. So they're self-destructing themselves.
There are a lot of bad Republicans, too, because... You look at the Senate and the Congress, most of them are bought and paid for by the military-industrial complex and Big Pharma.
Big Pharma, yeah.
That's true.
They're owned by them.
Never interfere with the enemy while they're in the process of destroying themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm going to go, you guys.
Yeah, it's 12:03. I think it's time we got to go cook our meal. And thank you, everybody, for showing up. And well, sorry you can't partake in our food.
Well, good discussion. You know, we do have a right to speak truth. We have to do it in wisdom. And but we still, I mean, if the devil spirit kingdom, they sure don't shut their mouths.
No, they don't.
So we have a right to speak the truth of God's word. And,
right.
But we have to listen. I mean, you got to listen. Yeah. Sometimes God says, just don't. Not for this situation.
And you know, sometimes when you're having a discussion with somebody, Diane brought up a good point. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just listen to somebody and you let them get... I remember years ago, I was talking to this woman, and this woman was all upset because she had taken her niece or her daughter or her something, granddaughter or something, taken her to go get an abortion, and somebody had told her that she had done something terrible and evil. Are you going to go?
Yep.
Okay.
Goodbye, everyone. Love ya.
Bye, Diane. Love you.
And she thought she'd sinned, and people told her she had sinned, and finally, I listened to her, and finally I said, you know, it wasn't a sin. You're fine. And, you know, and that's what she needed. But she had, I couldn't say that until I had listened to her. She needed somebody to listen to her. And a lot of times, if people just listen to each other, and, you know, there's one more thing. I'm going to close with this. I was watching an interview with a rock and roll musician that he's not a particularly nice guy. And he's a little bit crazy, actually. Well, a lot of musicians are. But he was talking about how he grew up and his mother was very left-wing and they would do... But yet his mother would go and work with this one church group. And the kid asked his mom, he said, well, you don't believe that. Why do you work with that group? He says, well, they're very good people. And he says, you know, you can have different politics... But what you want to do in your life is you want to make sure that you're a very good person. Now, we know being a very good person isn't our salvation, But because we're saved, we should walk as ambassadors for Christ, and we should be very good people. So that's what I want to end with.
All right, guys. Love you all.
All right.
Love you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.
End meeting. There we go. So like I said, we have hot dogs and hamburgers. I'm going to run out and start the grill up here.